Say fresh oil. That's what we're looking at. Fresh oil. Psalm 92:10. My horn shall be exalted, or you exalt, like the horn of the unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. We've been looking at the oil. Now, this particular session is an hybrid. You know, we've been doing the teaching on Wednesdays. I believe I've concluded doing the Wednesday service. I told you I was going to continue it here, right? So it is a hybrid session. We did a bit of it at the cell leaders training. So I'm picking it up again today. So I'm going to put it together. Because that particular series, I was particularly instructed by the Lord to teach it, to emphasize that. We call it stability of the times, or discerning the times, stable stability of Christian faith. And I believe it will be out shortly. Make sure you listen to it very quickly. Amen. All right. It says, so I'm going to teach it alongside what we're talking about. I'm bringing them together in just one particular teaching. And I trust that your mind will be open to it. Amen. All right. For my own thou shalt exalt like the horn of a unicorn, and shall be anointed with fresh oil. We looked at the fresh oil as fresh consecration that produces fruitfulness. And, you know, they oftentimes they say that time would tell. Well, I like to say time will bring increase. Amen. Time will bring, because that's what the Word of God says. He says that in my old age, we read that in the morning, right? So, he said, in my old age, I'll flourish. Is that it? Is that it? I'll bring forth fruit. So, time ought to get us to be stronger and more determined. But look at what we said earlier. We said that God has called a man, he's put him in the work of the ministry, he's put a purpose on his life. Then enemies, opposition will emerge. And that's something a couple of people, they think it's all rosy. Remember years back we had these great meetings. I think it's 98. Why am I talking about 98 a lot today? 98 must be an important year today. And we had these great meetings, wonderful meetings. I think Reverend Tokes was also at Rivers of Joy 98. Yes, he was. And we, you know, had these great meetings and we had prophecies. One of the places where we had some of those meetings is where you now hold church. Interestingly, years after, sit down. That's where they hold church. It was an uncompleted building. Then we used to use the other place, where you now have, we called it Word of Faith. You remember Wolfhack? Do you remember Wolfhack? Okay, you know, Word of Faith Academy. So it's 1997. Word of Faith Academy. WOFAC. It was meant to be like a Bible school where we teach and teach and teach. And all that. So interesting, the years after that's where they hold in church. God is humorous, right? Praise the Lord. And you know, I didn't tell you this part of that story that they eventually told us to get out of the place. Now they're asking you to come into the place. Praise the Lord. You sit down. They were going to pay. That's the reason. Not that they were wicked. Yeah, we couldn't pay, right? So it's not like they're bad guys. If somebody doesn't pay your rent, you tell them to get out. All right, it's not wrong to say someone to get out. And say, well, we're a church. Well, we don't pay gifts of the Spirit to the government. So you need to pay money. So we're told to leave. But that's, they are there now. So we're having meetings and we're having these glorious times, Holy Ghost meetings, flow of the Spirit, strong and strong and strong. And people wondered why I wasn't excited. And I said to them, I said, you know, it's work. We have work to do. And we need more than excitement. We need consecration and dedication. You know, while revelation will set you on course, consecration will keep you on course. Okay, revelation, inspiration will set you on the course. You know what you're doing. But it's consecration that keeps you on course. So, you know, many times we have that idea about the plan of God. But never like that. And if you look at the model of Jesus, who came to do arguably the most important thing, the greatest work of God on earth, and he didn't have a rosy giving you the pattern. And that's God himself who became flesh, John 1:14, and dwelt amongst us. So here, the psalmist says, I shall be anointed in the midst of hardship, opposition, difficulties. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Let's read verse 12 together. Praise the Lord. Come on, why don't you read that for yourself? Anybody who is righteous here, anybody? I think it's just myself. Anyone who is righteous here? Oh, just me. Come on. You want to join me? Praise the Lord. Anyone who is righteous here? So come on, what about reading verse 12 for yourself? I shall flourish. Glory to God. Hold on. Don't rush it. Amen. I shall flourish like a palm tree. I shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. I am planted in the house of the Lord. So I flourish in the courts of our God. I bring forth fruit. Now, look at what he says here. They shall steal. I love that. Praise the Lord. You like that? They shall steal. Glory to God. Which means there's no dry season. In the name of Jesus. There's no dry season. I'm upward bound with the word of God. I'm set on a course that I must follow. In the name of Jesus. I flourish every day. I flourish all the time. Look at 14. I still bring forth fruit as I grow up. I'm fat and flourishing. Now the word fat there has to do with the anointing too. I'm fat and flourishing. Look at verse 15. I show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock and there is no unright. Can you say hallelujah to that? So like the song writer says, fruitfulness is mine. I abound to fruitfulness. In the midst of darkness. So we said earlier that consecration is the fresh anointing. The fresh oil, pardon me. We looked at the word oil already, right? I think we're good on that. Are we good on that? On oil. So whilst you're supposed to be complaining and grumbling, how many of you really know that grumbling is a sin? Do you know that grumbling is a sin? No, I'm going to say it again. Grumbling is not to go, complaining is a sin. Paul said to them in Corinth, he said, don't follow this example. He told them. He said they murmured and they were destroyed or the destroyer. They murmured, there are people today who are just like that. I'm going to talk about that later tonight, where Paul talked about the spirit-filled life. You know, we stop with psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord. Then he said, giving thanks always. Hallelujah. In a giving thanks always. There's no one filled with the Holy Ghost that murmurs. Some guys just grumble about Nigeria. And you know, sometimes, do you know that? The reason why some people are complaining is because somebody else is complaining. You'll say, hey, things are this bad? Things are this bad. They're just like that. They're just used to grumbling. They just like complaining. There's a brother like in our fellowship, we used to call him answers by murmuring. He just said, yes, how are you? Fine. Where are you going to? I don't know. So we called him, he answers by murmuring. Brother Sheo, not you. Because when I was going in front of him, I had mentioned the person's name, and that's his name. His name is Sheo. We used to call him Bishop. Later on, I think he stopped murmuring, so we called him Bishop. Say, but brother, say, I don't know. You know some guys, they have that whining tone. Not you. It's a tone of defeat. Even when we rejoice, they still mix it up. Oh, they just like to complain. There are people like that. They just like to complain. Why would you raise your children like that? And they're listening to you. You know, too bad. Too bad. Not you, amen. Say, not you, amen. I believe that for you. So he said, we flourish. Say, we flourish. A fresh oil is a fresh consecration to the will of God for your life. I want to see someone like that in the Bible. We've been looking at him, actually, in our Wednesday teaching. And there's a man, Joseph. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Now, Joseph was a person born of the Spirit. He's born of the Spirit. Born of the Spirit means, you know, the Spirit of God, right, brought him into the world for a purpose. Now, we've expanded that meaning to talk about being in the image of God. Genesis 1, 26 and 27, the likeness of God. I'm going to talk about that on Sunday and to address some things about, you know, some things I'm teaching on the law of Moses. We'll talk about the image of God. So, you look at the fact that God has a plan for your life. God has a plan. And that plan is by His Spirit. So his grandfather, just like Noah, his grandfather spoke. You know, look at Genesis 15. Genesis 15. His great-grandfather spoke about him. Hallelujah. You know you are not an independent. God has called you for other people. I told you, you are called into a community of people. Into a community of people. Genesis chapter 15. You see the Lord speaking to Abraham here. Genesis 15. And it says in verse 13. I'll start from 12. And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abraham. That's a vision, right? Something that happened to Adam in Genesis chapter 2, where he also had the same experience. A deep sleep fell on Abraham. Now, what happens to him? He says, an aura of great darkness fell upon him. And we said in this series, the series I'm talking about, that darkness is God's creation, right? Come on. Darkness is God's creation. We've explained what creation is. So darkness is God's creation. So he says here, and all of that great darkness fell upon him. Verse 13 says, and he said to Abraham, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs. And they shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterward they shall come out with great substance. And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace, and thou shalt be buried in a great, good old age. So, he spoke to Abraham about Israel going into Egypt. And the person who did this was Joseph. Now, Joseph did it on behalf of the others. Now, notice what happened. God didn't reveal everything to Abraham. He didn't get all the details. He just told him what's going to happen to his seed. Now he had Isaac. That didn't happen. Isaac even went and came back. He had Jacob. Then he now became Joseph. Joseph wasn't the first or the second born. And so he goes to Egypt without knowing why. Because he himself, now the great-granddad had seen that the seed would go into Egypt. Why? God didn't tell him. So, here comes someone who was a child of his grandson. That means his great-grandson. Chapter 37. Been there before, just to review it again. Chapter 37. Are you in church? Come on, guys. Are you in church? All right. So, we had Joseph. And then, in verse 2. This suggestion of Jacob, Joseph being 17 years old, was feeding the flock, right, with his brethren. Please observe something. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpha, his father's wife. And Joseph brought unto his father the evil report. He brought to the father. He never got himself mingled with the world. He brought to his father the evil report from 17. So the next verse says, Israel, that's Jacob, loved Joseph more than all his children because he was a son of his old age and he made him a coat of many colors. Usually people skip what happened in verse 2. That he was a guy who was upright. He never mingled with his siblings who weren't doing the right things. So I want to say, well, it's not my fault. The family I was born in, all my siblings were like that. My brothers used to smoke, or my sister used to smoke, and they used to take a shisha. And then my elder sister used to do this one. My younger, this one. My uncle that I grew up with, he did do it for me. And when I was younger, I was this one. And he bring him, talk about that. And he was distinguished from his brothers. So he went to his dad. And then the dad loved him. And then the siblings, all of them. Verse 4, he says, they saw their father loved him, they hated him, and could not speak peaceably unto him. We've seen this before. And in the middle of that, you know, he began to dream. Or we can call it divine revelation. He began to dream. Divinely granted appearances. Now, notice something. Put your hands in there, okay? Just go to Genesis 50. What God spoke to his great-grandfather, he now repeated. Genesis chapter 50. Quickly. And verse 24. He says, God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land to the land which he swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And he took an oath of children of Israel saying, God will surely visit you. Exactly the words God said to his grandfather. The same words. The same words. So he is carrying out a plan that involves more than him. As you are seated here, your life is tied to many lives. Those who have come before you, those who will come after you. Your life is tied to, you are in a bigger plan. Bigger than you. Bigger than the school you attended. Bigger than the family you were born. You are in a bigger plan. So usually, we can have a very small mindset. Hallelujah. Not seeing the bigger picture. Say, look, my grandfather, and then my great-grandfather, and my dad. This is what God told them. What God told them is what I'm carrying out. There's nothing unique. It's what he told them that I'm carrying out. Praise the Lord. Also, chapter 37 again. So they hated him. Hated him. We didn't like him. Now, notice what we read in Psalm 92. When I mentioned this, let me just say that again. The psalmist says, it's in the courts of the Lord that I flourish. And I told you, your identity, who you are, is tied to this earth. And this earth's identity, it is God's temple. So, the day you recognize what God is doing in the earth is the day purpose begins in your life. That's why when they ask Jesus, thou the teacher come from God, John 3:2, no man doeth these miracles except God be with him. He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. The guy asked him, he said, can a man, when he's old, enter into his mother's womb a second time to be born? He said, very, very, I say unto you, except a man is born of water. And we've explained, that's the water of Eden, right? Since Community Church? The Eden waters. Which is where the dark seas of Genesis 1-2 is now reformed, refined, purified, and becomes the waters that covers the sea. Except a man is born of water, which refers to the work of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is the Eden, the temple space. So when a man is, when you are born again, what happens to you? The day you are born again, you enter into that temple. You enter into that kingdom. You enter into what God is doing. Those who thought the kingdom of God as a place you go to when you die misled many people. No, it's not a place you go to when you die. It's a place you enter alive. Alive in God. Hallelujah. So purpose began the day that you received Christ, the day you received the Holy Spirit, the day you got the life of God. Then your life had a meaning, was given a direction, God's own meaning. Are you here? It's not about going to heaven, as we say, when you die. It's about the earth. The earth is his resting place. The earth is his dwelling place. The earth is where he wants his things done. The earth is where he wants his heaven to be. So when you enter into the kingdom of God, the reason why you're on earth emerges. Your identity is tied to the earth. I told you the other day, I said, when he said, let us make man in our image, much of the words in Genesis 1 was about man. Let him have dominion. Genesis 1, 26 to 28. And he blessed them. He said, be fruitful. Notice, he said, multiply, replenish the earth. Be fruitful, subdue it. Which means your identity is tied to the earth. Your purpose is tied to the reason why God made the earth. So when you enter into the courts of God, then you know who you are. David says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Hallelujah. And in the house of God, where you are is image. We told you what image is. Image is a representation. Image is a function. A function who acts on the behalf of an higher being. And who is God. So you begin to function. In the temple of God. The same thing happened to Jacob. We said earlier, Jacob is, he's running from his brother, running from Ham. Then he gets to Genesis 28 and 12 and he sees the vision of heaven and earth, which is God's kingdom, God's sacred place, God's Eden. Then he says the Lord was in this place. I did not know it. This is the house of God and the gates of heaven. Identity. By knowing where you are, you know who you are. By knowing what the body of Christ is, by knowing what the church is, then you know who you are. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. By knowing who you are, then you know what you are meant to do. So right there in the temple, and we spoke about the earth, that the earth, you see, when you read Genesis chapter 1 verse 2, you read about darkness. You get to Exodus, you see darkness. You get to Psalms, you see darkness. You get to Isaiah, you see darkness. You get to Malachi, you see darkness. Zechariah, you see darkness. Then you get to the four Gospels, you still hear about darkness. You get through the epistles, you hear about the kingdom of darkness. You've been delivered from the power of darkness, pardon me. Colossians 1:13, translated to the kingdom of his God's dear son. You still see darkness. So darkness never got wiped out. The only place you wouldn't see darkness, it's Revelation 21 and Revelation 22, where there was no more night. So, which means, if we're going to fulfill the purpose of God for our lives, we must never be afraid of darkness. We can't wish darkness away. No, we can't. We can't. We must know how to confront the darkness, the enmities that are against the purpose and plan of God for our lives. Don't forget, God has called you into the divine relationships. He has called you into a community of people. He has called you into his house. into his household, into his temple. That's where you find your purpose for living. So here we find Jacob, Genesis 28. Are you still in church? All right, Genesis 28. Jacob has the vision in 12 and 13, and God spoke to him about his seed. His seed that will multiply and will cover the earth, and all the families will be blessed, his seed. But don't forget, this is God restating what he had told his granddad. That's Abraham. So we said earlier here, so that I can get to the issues of the day, that we must be prepared for conflict, conflicting situations and circumstances. We must be prepared. There's a whole lot to serving and walking with God beyond just getting excited. Look at Luke 6. Luke's Gospel chapter 6. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Luke's Gospel chapter 6. I'm going to read to you verse 47. Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings, this is Jesus, and doeth them, I'll show you to whom he is like. To do the will of God. To carry out the will of God. Say, I choose to do the will of God. Say like me, I choose to do the will of God. I choose to follow God's plan for my life. You know, Psalm 127, 6, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. They labor in vain. The Bible is about building a house. The earth is his house. You are his house. What you do is his house. It's meant to be his house. So the Bible is a house project, a home project. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. I will labor in vain in Jesus' name. That's more than just praying. It takes a determination. You must be intentional about it. You must be intentional about not laboring in vain. Now, when you labor in vain, doesn't mean the house won't be built. The house will be built, people will share the house, but it's in vain. It's in vain. You know, I was talking to someone about May, just the day after my birthday or the day afterwards, I think May 13th. So he's talking about the church, and I said, why did you start this church? I asked him. Well, he went on and on and on and on. Then I said, you began this church because you felt that your former church was not teaching the word of God. He said, yes. So you left to start the church to do exactly what? To prove something. He said, well, I just felt that. I said, no. Starting the church is a holy vocation. It's not opening a shop. No. It's not, it's the same thing as, you know, I was talking to a brother and I told him, I said, you see, you need to ask the Lord what he wants you to do. He said, well, I don't think like that. He said, the way I am, the moment it comes to my mind, I do it. I said, what? And he just said it that way. And I told the brother, I said, you went to prove a point. You know, exactly, sir. But I just felt that, you know, just like you told us, he now referred to me, said, we should take bold steps, eh? Bold steps? You know, people can be very mischievous. I said, go and listen to flesh or the spirit. I know you skipped that one for bold steps. Both steps is less than 5 minutes statement. And that's the only one you remember. Go and listen to flesh or the spirit. He said, which one was that? I said, World Changers Conference. Both steps call. Both steps in disobedience. bold steps in anger, bold steps in the flesh. So go check it. You can just, let's just do church. Let's just do, you know, and some people think the more they have money. They have money. You know, someone told me, I was talking about earlier on, he said, well, this church, but I think this is okay. I said, he said, the way this ministry is, I said, but God didn't tell me. God didn't tell you. I remember a man I sat with, he had a dream. So he called me, I was actually pastor, so he called me and said, what do I think about the dream? I said, I think we should pray about it. And then find out, say, oh, don't bring all this Kenneth Hagin thing here. No, he called Kenneth Hagin stuffs. I said, why? He said, I know all the things you're going to say, inward witness, audible voice, leading of the spirit. I know all these things. He said, look. I don't have time for all those theories. That was the day I knew how I was going to leave. Now, I wasn't there permanent because he called me to help him start the church. So I did that, and we brought in our members. We helped him start. I've done that for people over the years. So we helped them start the church. And I said, you know, I told you I was leaving. So he said, but you said it could be 9 months. It's not up to that again, sir. Because if the person like that starts to speak down on leading of the spirit, one day I will do the same thing. Because it's not every time we like the leading of the spirit. Don't lie. It's not every time. So I want to prepare for the time I won't like it. So I won't have somebody who also does not like it. You know, that's too bad. Minus, 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 minus. So I said, I will have to leave. And he said, why? I said, I told you earlier that our ministry is the Faith Family Fellowship. No royal family then. Then I said, I told you I was coming. So I said, okay, no problem. What did you say? No, I'm not. He said, what about the brethren? They are coming with me. We're going together. Remember Lot's wife. We're going together. There's no need. You know, I met him years back. Brother Dan was there. And we're traveling across Africa. So we met at the airport. He said, you this again, boy. You have not left those. I see you a lot. You are still saying those things. I said, I have to. You know, there's nothing as good as being okay that you're in the plan of God. There's no reason to compare yourself. No reason. So I told the man, I said, you just want to start church like that. He said, I'm just going to say, no, you don't just start church like that. What about prayer? A guy told me he wanted to start a church. I said, what I know is you take some months to pray and fast. He said, can't I be doing that as I've started? I said, no. You take your time. He said, sir, we have started. You know all these guys. They will have put fires on social media. They will have said Sunday services. Immediately, the first week, the second week, they have a church already in Canada. A member went there. He went there for his own career. Just put your phone number there and your address. Don't worry. The church will grow from there. He really said, I'm just telling you, Rabbi, you know, we look up to you. I said, no. Don't mention my name in what you have done. I'm not part of it. You know, so that you can commit crime that he gave you a name. Every man to himself. Go. Go and do what you want to do. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain. I won't labor in vain. That means what you're doing amounts to nothing. You work, another will take the praise from God, not you. So Luke chapter 6, are you in church? All right, good. So he says, Luke 6, it's like a man that built a house. Then what else? He digged. I know that's bad English. But that's the Spirit's English. He dug deep. Before you go and say that to your children and say, Daddy, what did you just say? Say, he digged. They say, that is God that says, God can blow guns. So he dug deep. Praise the Lord. He dug deep. He dug deep and laid the foundation on a rock. Let's read the B part together. Let's go. Everybody, let's go. And when the flood arose, the steam beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon the rock. Look at that. It could not even shake it. Look at the next one. Let's take 49 together. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built an house upon the earth, against which the stream, and immediately, look at it, he said immediately, any storm of life is gone. Any difficulty, anything like that is gone. Anyone. Immediately, he said, and the ruin of that house was great. He dug deep. So I said to you, I said, digging deep is that part of your life that is not for show. That part of your life, the unseen facts. Never live for show. Don't pray for show. Don't teach for show. Don't worship for show. You know, today people bring out their phones when they are worshiping. Tobe chuku. Who are you talking to? Who? Onise Iyanu. Even worship is for show. Even prayer meetings. You can join us. Who? You can join us now. See how we are making power available. Hallelujah. A brother came for World Changers Conference. And so he brought out his phone. So what's up? Said, no, no, no. That was the first day. I'm not sure he saw the phone afterwards. The first day he's bringing out his phone. Like, wow, wow. Ah! Your first time? And the point is, you didn't see anybody bring out phones. Praise the Lord. No one. There should be a part of your life that is not for show. You want to study the word of God, the whole house will know. You play the teaching so loud. You now put your Bible like that, your concordance. Say, Lord! Yeah! That's how the house will fall. Show. Go for evangelism. Normally. Say, I'm going for evangelism, oh. Go for evangelism. I'll tell you, I'm going for evangelism. Show. Everything is show. We have some brethren like that. The moment they see the cameraman in front of them, they adjust their shirt. In worship. That's not you, right? They adjust their, they don't close their eyes totally. As funny as it sounds, you need to work against that. Don't live for show. Don't. If you're leading us worship, talking to the music department, don't sing for show. You get to a point, you say, the way Brother So and So, the way he raises his key, I will show him in the next session. Simple song. We are made to pray. We are made. Which brother is it for? Or sister? We are made to pray. Is that how I taught you? Pleasure in the Lord. Now, do you know that in your devotion, you don't sing like that? Now, if you ask behind your devotion, there's a problem. Behind door followed you home. Yeah, how you're raising your hands in your devotion. Pleasure in the... The thing has become part of you. You don't enter body. That's what I was telling us one day. He said, you know, Lord spoke to me. He said, Pastor Shagun. Eh? He said, God called him pastor. He's used to it. So everybody calls him his first name. He said, no. Ah, that can't be the Spirit of God. I learned to dig deep. So I learned to dig deep. Go down deep. The depth of Christian living. We're talking about consecration. The depth of it. Depth. The unseen part of your life. Don't be someone whose Christian walk is on his pulpit, on the pulpit. So when you get off the pulpit, you're not even listening to what you are preaching. On the pulpit. The only people you exhort are us. You don't listen to the same thing. Dig deep. Don't live for the show. Don't live for the show. You know, when we take pictures, it's not God who sees it. Because why do you guys take pictures? Can't take pictures. Ah, I need to see what happened. He's not the one that uses it. We take pictures for us, just for memories. Or to remember the meetings. After all, some of you like the pictures and posting old pictures. Someone saw one on my birthday in 96 or so, where we put one rechargeable lantern. I didn't know they were going to take the picture. That's why I like this. And the brethren, they kept the picture. Disciples. They kept the pictures. So they're good memories. But that's all they are for. Someone say, throwback Thursday. This was then. This is now. What's the difference? And what are you talking about? That you used to be like this. Now you're like this. What does that mean? It could be sickness. He says nothing. Do you get it? So, don't live for the show. Even some things we do. You buy a car. It's the same destination. You buy a car so that people will know that, I'm doing well. A brand new car. The point is, the moment you say another one, you want it again. It's not going to get there faster than the other one. So it's comfort, comfort. Do you sleep inside? You're just living for the world. Some of you change hairstyle every week. Not you here. Every week. Every week. Green today, black tomorrow, yellow. The fourth week, yellow, black, and green together. So they can be saying, you are looking good. Oh, don't mention. That's all you are living for. All you are living for. Show. Dig deep. Someone say, dig deep. And I said that not just about the ministry, about your life, your career, about everything, anything that will last. Requires a strong foundation. A strong and solid foundation to build upon it. To dig deep. The unseen part of your Christian walk. Fresh oil. Is not what you do publicly. Even though publicly you do it. Fresh oil is what you do privately. I was talking to someone today. He used to be a pastor in a ministry. And we talked just today. And so we're talking and I said, oh, we talk about camp meeting. I said, that camp meeting, I was there. I said, I sold Breeze. He said, you did what? You were there camp meeting? This is 27, 28 years ago. He said, you were there? I said, I was there. I said, it was a blue shirt. He said, said, Pastor Shereke, you've been in this journey. I said, yes. He said, I was the director of the Breeze because we're selling Breeze to make money for the camp. So I sold Breeze. I said, we slept in rooms that didn't have windows. The brethren were complaining that day. Oh, is this church? Is this church? I said, guys, they don't ask us to stay here forever. In another 4 days, we are gone. Let's focus on them. These are the people that are making Christianity. This one, no. You can, I said, sorry, yo. I just moved. I said, I saw Breeze. He said, you did? I did. So I was there. Just to be in the church meeting. Praise the Lord. My friends didn't come. They couldn't make it. They gave me reasons, but I didn't care. You have to know how to dig deep. The unseen part. So I'm not going for that. You're not going. Me too, I'm thinking. Is that how you're going to live your life? Let's assume there's rapture. That's how you miss it all. I'm not going for rapture. I'm not going. You're not going. Is that how you're going to end your life? I was thinking about it. It's true. I just was there. So, digging deep is the part of your life, a foundation. And I think if I talk to those builders here, the deeper the foundation, the stronger the house. Right? Praise the Lord. And we have rough foundation. What is that? What's the second one again? Huh? Piling. Piling is the one that is for the bigger structures, right? And which one is for the water ripples? Piling too. Now the piling is a stronger one, right? So, imagine, you build a fine house in a waterlogged area, and you just dug small. So put it in there, don't worry. And you now build four floors. See, the height is the height of your destruction. And I'm not joking. What you should have spent more time on is to dig deep. Spend more time. And you know, we're in a world filled with chaos. We're in a world filled with darkness. We must get the piling foundation. The one that is strong. The one that will foresee storms. You must foresee storms. Solomon says a wise man sees evil from afar off. You should know that if you're in the work of the ministry, you have enemies. You have adversaries. You must prepare for it. Don't prepare for next week. Don't prepare even for next year. Prepare for all time. A friend of mine said this years ago. He said, Shago, never get ready. Live ready. Live ready. Always be ready. So dig deep. Because you cannot predict the storms that will come. But you see, you can dig deep enough. That whatever it is, notice in the two buildings, the storms came for the two houses. Came for the two. But the other one just crashed. Stopped going to church. Stepped out of the ministry. Said, maybe I'm not called for it. Someone told me that years ago. Someone that inspired me to answer the call of God told me, he said, Shegun, I'm not called. I said, why? He said, I ran a fellowship for 3 weeks. Is it 3 weeks or 1 month? He said, for 2 weeks, I was the only one going there. And I did flyer. Why would you start with flyer? You think people go to church because of flyer? Why would you start with flyer? Say the second time, somebody even came, the guy didn't stay to the end, and all that. And he said, I believe I'm called to the choir. I said, but the experience we're talking about, I've had it before. He said, that's you. You know, you are a very stubborn person. I said, no. No. I gave the person the same counsel recently. I said, you know, I told you. He said, you did. I told you. Dig deep. Dig deep. When your, the proverb says that when your strength fail, when you fall, sorry, in the day of adversity, it means your strength was small. What the things that get you easily discouraged, disappointed, unhappy, upset, unexcited, uninspired, it shows that you are not strong enough. You see, storms come to test how strong we are. And you can't predict them. They come to test how solid you are. If you leave this auditorium and you go, I have a threshold, I've dedicated myself to the Lord, this one thing I do to follow the Lord. If you think that is all, that's not all. You have to dig deep. You have to do more than that. You have to. So here, let's get back to Joseph. God gave him a dream. God gave him a vision. Now you need to take the other part of this series. It's already in teaching. I believe it will be out soon. So he was called by God. He kept having revelations. Kept having revelations. Don't forget, he has good character, right? He has a good character. Alright? Sometimes you think, well, you have good character, you have this revelation, things will be smooth. No, that's when things are going to be tough. Because now you're waging a war against a kingdom. So he has good character. All his brethren, everybody, started to hate him. They disliked him so much. Hated him. Then one day, and you know, it's another thing if just one of them, all of them together, they were in one accord. And then, one day, he now said the same thing to his father. That you, my mother and my siblings, we did what? Said you bowed down. Said, you know I've been keeping quiet. Because I said I love you, that means you'll be stupid. The man was upset. But the Bible says he kept those sayings in his heart. So what did they do? They planned for him. They planned to kill him. We shared that already. I'll just go back quickly. They planned to kill him. And I showed you the last time. That was last Wednesday before the Sunday. And they planned to kill him. Then Judah, between Judah and Reuben, they said, no, don't let's shed blood. Right? Let's put him out for slavery. And I said to you, I said, you therefore should know that the only reason why Joseph was eventually able to do the will of God was because he was alive. So life is your greatest opportunity. Now, that life may not be the way you want it. It may not be how you want it. It may not be where you want it. But always be grateful for life. Life is an opportunity. Life means there's hope. Life means things can be done. The only reason why Joseph was eventually able to do what he saw was that he was alive. And you know, sometimes we treat life like it doesn't matter because we don't have the car we wanted to buy, because we couldn't get the house we wanted to, we couldn't get the dollar, even people that don't deal with the dollar, say dollar has gone up. I don't know how it affects you. Say dollar has gone up, you know, and you say different things. Sometimes even you might be feeling, not feeling too well. And sometimes there could be different things. So, you know, you have some folks like that. They say, this guy, we've been going out together and all that, 8 years. Then he told me one day, I'm not doing anymore. And the lady begins to cry. She says, that's someone told me like that. She said, I'm feeling depressed. For what? He said, you know, sir, you know, we had done this. We had even gone to do introduction. Introduction of which of the books? You know, we've done introduction. And then suddenly the guy said he wasn't getting married to me again. I feel like the world has come to an end. I feel like everything has gone. I want to kill myself. I said, why have you not done it? Because life is precious.
I just feel like I just end it.
The fact that you are saying it, you are not ready.
I just end it, sir.
You are very stupid. Extremely stupid. My brother will wish he had what you had. My brother died 20 years ago. He wish he come. Let's exchange. Idiots. Many people wish they have what you have. Maybe it's just to jilt. Come and jilt me. Just let me remain alive. Keep jilting me, but keep me alive. Nonsense. Someone doesn't want you. Someone else wants you. You want to kill yourself because of a woman or a man. You are a fool. A big fool. A woman or a man. A piece of clay like you. You are an idiot. What is the person bringing to your life? Salvation. The one that died for you, you are not crying. You are not even dying for him. I'm saying again, you are an idiot. Not you. There's nobody here like that.
No, I'm thinking of him. He said he's not marrying me again.
You are mad. And the thing is, there will be some brothers that are talking to her. She's doing like this. And then she's dying over one guy that says, go away. Idiot. Life is precious. It's because you have life. As Hezekiah said, he said, look, the dead cannot praise you. I mean, that was what he said. Life is precious. Only the living can praise you. God said, hey, come back here, prophet of God. Go back and tell him 15 more years. Life is precious. So I had a bad day. Would you rather have no day? I'm grateful for life. Jesus said, is life not more precious than raiment? There are people today, they have very expensive clothes, but they are no longer here. Right? You know, one day, I was walking through my dad's house. He built one house. So, and I remember when he had this particular part of the house, his own room. The room was so secret. It was the Garden of Eden. Now, when he died, even brethren in this church were entering and coming easily. In this church, they didn't even know him. They went to pack things. But after the room, oh, they entered that same room that we were looking at, like the cherubims were guarding the tree of life in the middle of it. That means what was most precious was not that room. It was his life. It's his life. You know, someone was telling me one day that they stabbed him. I said, why? He said, someone was trying to take my phone. I was struggling. I said, you're an idiot. Phone. He said, our password, our phone is expensive. Phone. He said, in Jesus' name. What is it? Leave the phone alone. You've never used the believer authority to get someone to be a disciple. Phone. In Jesus' name, you can't take my property, my inheritance. Phone. He said, bring the money. Give the money away. More will come. Because you trust in the living God. He said, hey, my 10K. No, you can't take it to Jesus' name. So I was taking knife and running. You are greedy, covetous. You are a lover of money. Let it go. So say, Pastor, yes. A brother that didn't come to church, he says, I'm no longer interested in. He says, okay, you let that one go. A life. A guy said, I don't want to hear any gospel. I'm not ready for salvation. I said, well, I leave it to you and your destiny. You go to, you let that one go. iPhone. You can't let it go. And you are crying. So what happened? No big deal. Just my phone. You won't say it well because the person around you is spiritually minded. You now wait for the kind of people that you know. Or more, they don't take that phone, no. Say, so you think big, you know who to talk to when you are kinda. Amen. Life is precious. I thank God for my life. Oh, hallelujah. Thank God for life. I can serve God again. I can bless people again. I can receive healing again. I can receive miracles again. I can receive wisdom again. Life is opportunity. You fail an exam, but you're alive. Do it again. No, I'm going to end it. I've never failed before in my life. And that's because you've never failed. Now that you have failed, that means you have now failed in your life. What did he think? Say, where's your God? Where is your God? Since your God is Mammon. You're alive. Praise the Lord. Amen. Because you're alive, miracles will come. Because you're alive, God's plan is possible. Because you're alive, that's the most precious thing that you have. Your salvation is useful in the earth today because you are alive. Wherever you are, can't you just thank God that you're alive? Irrespective of what you have and you don't have, can you just be grateful? Right where you are and be thankful. Not murmuring over economic situations, not murmuring over job losses, but you are here. You can fulfill the will of God. You can do the will of God. You can still pray. You can still speak in other tongues. You can still heal the sick. You can still prophesy. You can still be led by the Spirit of God. You can still teach the gospel. You can still receive more miracles. You can still help somebody. More ideas can still come for your business. More ideas can come for your career. You can still do another course, another degree. Because you're alive. You can still travel to somewhere. You can still come back from somewhere. You can still bless somebody. You can still give to someone. You can still receive from someone. Only because you're alive. Hallelujah. Sit down. We often miss this crucial part of the life of Joseph. It's a very crucial aspect. That God, you know, you'll have felt, you know, it looked the most insignificant thing. That he was just kept alive. So we put our attention, I was sold to slavery. Can you imagine? No, he was alive. I'm grateful to God. Grateful to God for every day. Every new day, every new week, every new year, every new month. I'm grateful to God. I'll do his will. Oh my God. And I know that people around me, I'll be a blessing to them. You know, because I know I bring gladness and happiness to people. Every day I'm alive. I know someone is blessed. I know someone is happy. I know someone is joyful. I know someone is impacted because I'm around. So I treasure being around. Does it mean the circumstances are going to be favorable? No. But there's nothing that beats being alive. Nothing. There's nothing that beats being alive. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Nothing. If you ask those who have been wealthy, who are chasing what you're looking for today, and who are no more around, if you ask them, what would they rather have? The houses, the cars, or life? They will say, the houses and cars are still mine. It's still in my name. I'd rather have life. That will bring more opportunity. I can do the will of God because I'm now alive. Amen. That's why murmuring is a sin. It's unthankfulness. Ungratefulness. You guys be very careful of the things that happen on the social media. People bring a lot of frustration. And someone said this rightly, a pastor. He said there was discontent. And I noticed it from the COVID crisis. He said that the kind of discontent from that period to now is unprecedented in human history. You know, because suddenly something happened to all of us that we never expected. We're all locked down in the homes. We couldn't go out. You couldn't, you know, see people. There are people you didn't see for months and months and months. So there was restlessness. Yeah, that's the word. Restlessness in the hearts of people. And humanity has never seen migration like this before. People just had a feeling, you know, that let's just live where we are. Let's just leave my job. Let me just do this. So they came on the social media and there was an increase in this, just being disoriented. I want something new. They were trying out new relationships, new jobs, new businesses, new countries, new churches. People were just migrating. So even though we took care of the disease, we never took care of the effects on humanity. Restlessness. Within our country, Nigeria, suddenly, there's been a new culture of rudeness from that same period. Rudeness. Breaking every barrier. Taking out anything that's sacred. I don't care! There's restlessness in the hearts of men. Glory to God. Breeding unthankfulness. Don't forget, the reason why he went to Egypt at all was because he was alive. I'm alive to fulfill God's will. I'm alive to fulfill his plan. Praise the Lord. So I'm grateful. So he goes. Because of our time, let's run through that. He's alive. We must treasure life. We must treasure being alive. So he goes. Now look at the trajectory of his life. He got rejection from home. Was rejection. At home. His family spoke evil of him. They didn't want him. He got exiled to live with Potiphar, a total stranger, as a slave. Unexpected things were happening to him. What else? There was false accusation by Potiphar's wife, where she accused him of wanting to rape her. Then eventually, he was forgotten by the people that he helped. How old was this guy? He was 17. He was a teenager. 17. And his life was wrapped with so much of conflicts, contradictions. He was. But notice, and I shared that with you earlier, at no point did we ever hear him grumble. You know, the Bible tells us, let's see, Genesis chapter 39. Are you in church? Watch this. In verse 2, it says, the Lord was with Joseph. And he was prosperous, was a prosperous man. Now, it didn't mean he had property, no. Watch this, come on, it's gonna make sense now. What does the oil do for us? We flourish. The Lord was with him. He was flourishing, yet he didn't have property. He remained green. The Lord was with him. It's not the circumstance that made you bitter. It is lack of depth. He was prosperous. A slave. Someone has just gone there and said, is this all the Christian work is about? All the camp meetings I've been to, all believers' convention, all these meetings, all this word, all the teaching. So at the end of the day, look at what's happening to me. He didn't. He was flourishing. Say, I flourish. You know, whatever you are is who you are. In every circumstance. So, whatever he was in his father's house, where he was upright, was not put to test. Put the test. And here he was, as a slave. This is someone who is, you know, he was his dad's favorite child. He now became a slave. He didn't go then, maybe early in the morning. The boss said, where's Joseph? He's out there. He's been singing since 5 a.m. So he's just singing. Ah, Lord. With how I served you, oh Lord. He said, what's happening? He said, good morning, Lord God. I'm just remembering the family I came from, sir. My bedroom was in the penthouse, sir. Circumstances. Nobody knew his story. Because you see, the moment, sir, you begin to complain, you cut yourself off. You cut the circuit of what's going on in your life. He was just there. He was prosperous. That means he was a guy who was making progress. And the man said, this guy is just a unique fellow. He's faithful. You know, and he's taking care of things. Some of people like that, they'll lose their jobs, they get another job, and that job, maybe the job is, they used to be the general manager, they now have a job, the job is management trainee. They'll let everybody know they were general manager. I'm just here for a purpose. I don't know what God is doing. I was a GM. Please, all the management trainees, please come here. The guy will come in last. What's wrong with you? I'm sorry, you know, I'm not used to that word management trainee. The managed part is, I look, general manager. Oh, sorry. No. He did his job well. Hallelujah. See, when you are flourishing, when you have fresh oil, there's no job too small. There's none beneath you. You will be faithful in all things. Hallelujah. He handled it so well. The man said, I'm now going to put you over all my house. Over all my house. Look at verse 3. Let's take verse 3 together. Genesis 39. Let's go. And his master saw that the Lord was with him. And the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. Look at verse 4. And Joseph found grace in his sight. He served him. And he made him overseer over all his house. And all that he had, he put in his hands. He gave him everything. You know why? Because faithfulness was his character. You know, you can be faithful because you want promotion. You can be faithful because you want them to make you something. To show that he wasn't faithful in his father's flock when he reported his brothers, he wasn't doing it for promotion. He was still faithful when there was no room for promotion. Faithfulness is not in the past. It's what you are doing now. He's faithful. He's just a faithful person. He's not just faithful in church. Are you here? He's faithful at work. He's not just faithful in church. He's faithful in the family. He's not just faithful at work. He's faithful in society. Are you here? Say, I'm anointed with fresh oil. Say, I have fresh oil to remain fresh, to prosper, to blossom in all that I do. In the name of Jesus. Watch this one. In the middle of that, Potiphar's wife liked him and wanted to have sex with him. Now, who else would have gone for it? A boy who was rejected by his father, I mean his parents, who had been taken for dead, sold as a slave. You would have felt, after all, what's the big deal? I've been serving God all along anyway. Why can't I just give myself to this one? It's just luxury. It's just pleasure. Come on. Doesn't mean anything. After all, I'm sure by the time I have sex with her once or twice, she's probably going to show me something that's making me prosper. Before I know it, I'll get through her and I'll leave Egypt and maybe I'll go to America. No. He didn't do that. He said, hey, I'm not going to sin against my master and against God. And the Bible tells us that she kept coming. You know, at some point you'll have given in until she saw this one no go gree and tore his clothes and falsely accused him. And the master he had served all his life or for most of his time now believed the woman. Is it a fair woman? How did she cry? Oh, honey! Why did you bring Joseph to this house? I told you that boy had a mission. There he was. Back in jail. Falsely accused. Who else should be rejected? Who else should not come to church? Who else should not pray anymore? Who else should say, forget about it. Let me just take my life. Who else should stop having Christian friends? Who else should stop listening to the word of God? Joseph. And he had reasons. In fact, it's not like this. I come to you and say, you know, what happened to you, brother? When we were in secondary school, you said, if you know my story. And then he tells you his story. My brothers, my mom, my dad. Yeah? That's not all. There's still more. He wanted to kill me that day. I don't know how God did it. But somehow they didn't kill me. And then they sold me and said, brothers? Yes, sir. I understand. Omo, I know it's you. I understand. You know, I even go to Potiphar's house. I try my best. Omo, I did everything. Which thing I know do. Every morning I'll take care of the man. In fact, the man also gave me the whole business to run. As a slave, what now happened?
That's what I'm about to tell you. Oh my, I just fed up. I saw the woman come. I said, no, I mean, what will I have done? And the man I trusted, he believed her. That I threw me to jail. See me, that I'm even a criminal. And I'm here. You nothing. And you say you're serving God? How are you not different from me? Me, I don't serve God, I thought people are serving God. Taking all your time in church with all this problem. You know, you'll have given an excuse for him. Look at all the things, from home to job to Oga's wife. That one is the ultimate. If Oga's wife accuses you, you are gone. But you know what? No. He got to the jail too. And he was still faithful. That means he wasn't doing it for show. If he was doing it for show, he would have broken up. If it was for show, who was he going to be showing anymore? Don't pray for show. Did you hear it? Don't preach for show. Don't live right for show. He wasn't doing it for show. And now, notice in jail, in chapter 40, chapter 39, they put him in prison. The Lord was with Joseph, verse 21, and showed him mercy and gave him favor on the side of the keeper of the prison. The keeper of the prison committed to Joseph and all the prisoners that were in the prison. Whatever they did there, he was a doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him, and that what he did, the Lord made it prosper. Nothing changed. Raise your two hands and nothing dies in my hands. Pray for yourself. Under no circumstance will I change. I remain constant by the power of the Holy Spirit. Fresh oil in my life. Fresh oil. 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 No circumstance will define me. No situation will change me. No hardship will turn me around. I remain the same. I'm faithful. I'm loyal. I'm supernatural. I'm spiritual. I'm godly. Pray for yourself. Nothing changed. From his father's house to Potiphar's house to jail, nothing changed. Nothing. Nothing. Hallelujah. We're still here. Do you notice that it wasn't just about the work of the ministry? Even anything that was committed to his hands. Anything. That will be the kind of person that they will say, that brother, if you give him anything to do, he's a Christian, he will do it well. That brother, don't speak in tongues and be lazy. Don't prophesy and steal money at work. Don't do evangelism and sleep with somebody at work. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Don't heal the sick and become sick. Become sick of bad habits. Don't be a pastor. And you are playing teaching in the office. Everybody hearing this. And when they are gossiping, you are gossiping. Don't flow with the Spirit. And they know you in the office. You never do your work. You never. Don't say, it's what I'm doing. This guy was in the hardest of circumstances. There's no reason to not do things well. Did you hear what I'm saying? There are people today, if you look at their circumstances, and you look at what they've been through in life, and you remain constant. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He's a 17-year-old boy who should still be at home. But God has something bigger. Because God has things for you. You have to confront those things. You have to. You have to. You have to confront those things. You have to. He remained faithful. Now, look at something very critical. In chapter 40, two guys, you know, prison is not the place you want to be. Two guys, the baker and the butler, now had a dream. Watch this. Right in jail.
He was able to interpret their dreams. That means he was full of the Spirit all the time. So I said, oh, I'll have done this years ago, but what my eyes have seen. I just could not continue. I couldn't continue. I mean, the minute I started that church, just problems in my business before I knew it. This one happened to me before I knew it. I had to leave one thing and face one. I mean, in those days, when you say this, I would have just given you the interpretation. Immediately, I would have ministered to you, but I'm so sorry. Let me give you someone's number. No. Right there. He was full of the Spirit. Rejection. Are you here? Exile and suffering. False accusation. Imprisonment. And in all of this, he's filled with the Spirit. He's still praying in tongues. He's still interpreting it. He's still being led by the Spirit. He's still walking in love. Are you here? That's fresh oil. Fresh oil. Because in our old age, we are going to flourish. As we grow in time, time will not get us weaker. Time will make us stronger. All the experiences we have will make us stronger, fitter, more established, more strengthened by the power of the Holy Spirit. See what is going on here? He gave them the interpretation. Then the guy, he forgot him. Now, let me ask you a question. If everything had gone otherwise, he would never have been able to rescue Israel. If everything we said now had gone otherwise, he wouldn't have been the one to rescue Israel. If that had gone smoothly, he didn't get to Egypt eventually. He didn't get to any Potiphar's house. He just got to Egypt and got a job and it was fine. And he said, yeah, you can leave now. No, why should you be a slave? You can leave. Don't go back to your country. No, your guys will just sell you again. Maybe I should arrange Syria for you. They could give you Syrian visa, work permit. You are gone. If all that had worked otherwise, he would never have been able to rescue his nation. Never! Don't run from the fight. When you run from the fight and you run from those things, you might be running away from God's plan. Face it. That's why you pray. That's why you have the word of God in your heart. That's why you sing the songs you sing. That's why you are hearing the word of God the way you are hearing it. To be strong. Look at what David said. When he got before Saul, he said, your servant was keeping his father's flock. Don't forget, that father's flock, he was so despised that when he asked the father to go and call his children, he forgot him. He said, I have one that keeps the flock. That keeps the flock. Now, Jesse wasn't a wealthy man. If he now has one that keeps the flock, then imagine what he's keeping. And when the lion came, he said, lion, I won't kill myself because of any lion. He faced the lion. He wasn't doing to become king. Faithful people have no price in mind. They are just faithful. When the bear came, he didn't say, lion came, my father, bear again. Maybe this flock should go. He faced it. I always tell people, don't abandon the flock. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't abandon 10 people, 5 people, 6 people. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't, no matter the circumstance, you are not an hireling. You are a true shepherd. You are a true shepherd. You are. I told someone years ago, I said, don't you say, well, I have no problem. When I get to this country, I'll do this one. I know the ministry. Blah, blah, blah. I said, you will keep starting and stopping because you have created a pattern of unfaithfulness. And that exactly was what happened. Don't do it. Don't be under any pressure. Don't be under any pressure. Right in jail, this guy was full of the Spirit. Right in jail, full of the Spirit. So I put here, I said, what could he have done otherwise? He'll have developed unforgiveness and bitterness about his brothers and carried that in his heart all his days. When he entered exile in Egypt, he would have developed depression. What's depression? To consistently focus on a negative thought. He would have just been thinking about it. Ah, me, 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 oh, me, ah, with all I did. And he's thinking negatively, depression. Then he will have committed sin with Potiphar's wife. He will have done these other things. He'll have become bitter when those guys forgot him. Remember me when you see the king. The guy just went to see the king and did fine. Now, if it had happened otherwise, imagine if he had told the king, how king, there's one guy, he's an Israelite. Oh, no, he's an Hebrew, sorry. He came from the land of Canaan, and he's here. Sir, he didn't do anything wrong, sir. I really believe that guy. What? Go call me Potiphar. Potiphar, why did you put this guy behind bars? Oh, I'm so sorry, sir. No, let him go now. Oh, what do you want? I'm going back home. I'm going back to daddy. You want? Yeah, come on. I mean, just we're arranging for your flight to go. So sometimes be grateful that he forgot. Be grateful. He forgot at the right time. He remembered. And what he had been being prepared for years came. This is success. Is when preparation meets what? Opportunity. What are you prepared for? What are you prepared for today? Are you prepared for the next 20 years of your life, 30 years of your life, 40 years of your life? The way you pray, the way you study the Word of God. Fresh oil. Fresh oil means I'm going to remain vibrant for the rest of my life. No matter the circumstance and situation, he's vibrant, he's green, he's flourishing. Hallelujah. And then he said, I know a guy. He interpreted our dreams. Say, go bring him. Now listen to this. When he stepped into Pharaoh's courts, and Pharaoh gave him the dream, imagine if he had stopped praying. Imagine if he stopped going to church. Imagine if he stopped feeding on the Word of God. That is, the guy would have said what he used to do. But because he had forgotten him, he's already depressed. The guy said, oh, are you the Joseph? What do you think this dream means? Ah, sir. Well, the way I can get this dream to be interpreted, you need to give me 2 camp meetings, 1 believers convention, 1 WCC. I need to be on Living Word Media for 6 months. Sir, just give me that time. Huh? I will tell you the interpretation. Return this guy to prison. Go to prison and go and be doing your devotion. When you are done, come. We need someone that can talk now. But he's full of the Spirit now. He's ready. He's ready. Now, he wasn't told he was going to be prime minister, but he's ready. He didn't just give him the interpretation. He gave the solution. Why was he now the fellow put over Egypt? He had done it in Potiphar's house. No, in his father's flock. In Potiphar's house. And in the prison. He was ready. Lift your 2 hands and say, I'm ready. To do the will of God. I'm ready. How are you ready? Fresh fire. Fresh oil. Always having fresh oil. Always having fresh oil. Always having fresh oil. Always having fresh oil. No complaining. No grumbling. Nothing of such nature. Always having fresh oil. Fresh oil. What else was constant about him? Character. When you are full of the Spirit, right? You always yield to the Holy Ghost, both in ministry and in character. Say, my character will not change. Nothing should change your character. Do you hear me? Nothing. Don't let the pressures make you dishonest. Don't start lying. Don't. Nothing. No, sir, it's not my fault. It's what I faced. What could you have faced? You faced those things to test your character. Your character must remain the same. Are you here? Are you here, guys? Remain constant. Remain constant. Remain constant. God was with him. What does that mean? He functioned with fresh oil. Fresh oil. Fresh oil. Fresh oil. When somebody has fresh oil, every opportunity you will see the same thing. He will flourish there. He will flourish there. He will flourish there. I used to be like that, sir. When I was in university, as I left like this, it's because I'm now in Germany. I'm now in Russia. I'm now in America. I'm now in Europe. I'm now in South Africa. I'm now in South America. That's not the reason. It's not because you are anywhere. It's because your foundation is not deep. No society should influence you. It's your character. It's your purpose.
Hallelujah. Fresh oil. We said it's also fresh consecration. What you do all the time. Let me give you six things I wrote here that grants us fresh oil. I close here. In our lives and in our ministry, what are those things? To maintain fresh oil, to be stable. To be stable. Don't forget we said, don't do anything for the show. The moment you start to do things for the show, you are in trouble. Don't do things for the show. Don't do it because people will have to see you. No. The first thing to maintain fresh oil in your life, pray always. Take prayer as maintaining your spiritual glow. Take prayer that way, that you are maintaining your spiritual glow. Luke 6:18 says, praying always. Praying always. In Romans 12:11, when Paul says, not slothful in business, fervent in the spirit, serving the Lord. The next verse, he says, continually instant in prayer. Colossians 4 verse 2 and 3. You pray. Be instant in prayer. Praying always. Have a lifestyle of prayer. Not just prayer group. Your own prayer life. If you still need. Pastor Funke, Sister Tola, I need to tell you. Have you done? Then you have a problem. No one should be motivating you to pray anymore. You should have left that behind. You should know that your life depends on prayer. Does anybody inspire you to breathe? Ah, thank God for Sister Titi. She makes me breathe. That means she must be sick. You breathe because you know you have to breathe. I pray because I know I have to pray. If I'm going to keep fresh fire, a fresh glow of the spirit, a fresh oil, I must pray all the time. I must meditate on the word. Notice I didn't say hear the word. Anyway, if you're a member of Saints Community Church, we make you hear the word, whether you like it or not. The service teach you. We have a lot of materials. We write books like the Book of Life for you to read. That doesn't mean you are growing. You have to meditate on it. Joshua 1:8 says, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. You will meditate day and night and observe to do all that is written therein. Psalm 1 verse 1, blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, that stands in the way of sinners and sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight, he says, the law of the Lord, in this law, he meditates day and night. Notice what it shall be. It shall be like the tree, right? Planted by the streams of water. It will bring forth fruit in its season. Is that fresh oil? And whatever he does, he will prosper. Do you think about what you are hearing? Do you feed upon the word? Or you just get on the pastor's Facebook, just share it, so that they'll say, you are sharing it. But what you shared, did you read it? Did you meditate upon it? Before you bought a book for someone, have you read it? Meditate on the word. All the time. To feed on the word all the time. The third thing I wrote here. Fellowship with other believers. Joseph never had that anyway. But the Bible tells us that we provoke ourselves to good works. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. Not forsaking the assembly together of one another. Have believers around you. Who help you to keep the fire of God's spirit. All the time. All the time. All the time. Say, I'm always ready to do the will of God. I live ready every day. I pray ready. I meditate upon the word of God ready. I fellowship ready. What else was he doing? Do you know something about Joseph?
He was always serving. If you are going to take any break in life, don't take the break of service. Did you hear me? If you are going to take any break in life, don't take the break of service. He said, be fervent in spirit. Romans 12, 11. Serving the Lord. Serve. He was always serving. Always serving. To have fresh oil, you pray always. You meditate upon the word of God always. You fellowship believers always. You minister. And you give thanks always. 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 Thankful. Thankful. Always. Giving thanks to the Father, who has made us meet to be partakers of inheritance of the saints in light. Who has delivered us from the power of darkness and trusted us in the kingdom of his own dear son. I'm always giving thanks. Paul says, pray without ceasing. The next instruction, should you give thanks all the time? Because this is the will of God concerning you in Christ Jesus. All the time. Philippians 4:6 says, be anxious for nothing. Prayer, supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. About our nation, whether it's Nigeria, you're in Ghana, Benin Republic, South Africa, America, United States of America, you're in Canada, you are in Europe. He says, first of all, supplications, intercessions, prayers, and giving up thanks be made for all men, for kings, for rulers, for those in government, and those who are in authority, which means we should give thanks, is an instruction from the word of God. You give thanks for your family. Give thanks for your church. Give thanks for your life. Give thanks. Maintain the glow of the Spirit by giving thanks all the time. And lastly, this is actually the summary of everything. Learn to wait on the Lord. Minister to the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Have times you just spend the night and just stay there praying. There's no problem as such. You're just praying, waiting on the Lord. Receiving the word of God afresh and afresh. You have to keep yourself fresh. You know what? Because every day you step out into the world, there's contamination in the world. There's struggles, conflicts, contradictions, contrasting positions to the will of God in your life. But you must have fresh oil. Eventually, look at what happened to him. So you will know, his character was not seasonal. Eventually, he fulfilled the will of God. He rescued all his brothers from perishing. He had a new perspective to life. He said, it's not you who sent me here. He said, it's God who sent me here to deliver you all. He said, what you meant for evil, God thought it out for good. They were trying to apologize to him. In fact, they had thought he was going to come after them. And they said, you know, let's tell him that daddy said that he shouldn't touch us. So he said, don't stress yourself. He never was vengeful. He had nobody to revenge over because he saw the will of God in all that happened. You cannot be full of the Spirit and revenge. You can't want your own pound of the flesh. No. That's why in the book of Genesis, he was the closest of the characters to Jesus. The kind of hatred, rejection, suffering he went to, and how he rose to glory and sat over the whole of Egypt and exercised forgiveness again towards those who hurt him. What a life we have in Christ Jesus. You know, you have no reason to have unforgiveness. There's no reason to be bitter. Don't say, this one is strong. No, there's nothing stronger than the Spirit of God in your life. This one is a difficult situation. There's nothing stronger than the word of God in your spirit. You have the Holy Ghost. You have the Holy Ghost.
You got the Holy Ghost. And you know that, see, you know God is working something in your life. You know you are bigger than any hatred. You are stronger than any bitterness, any plans and conspiracy against you. You are bigger than it. Anything the devil brings, you are stronger than it. Any situation or circumstance, you are bigger and stronger. That is why you remain faithful. You remain consistent. Nothing dies in your hands. You remain fruitful in all the seasons of your life. Whether you are in your 20s, you are in your 30s, you are in your 40s, or 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s. You are consistent. Because you have fresh oil. Stand to your feet. You got fresh oil all over you. Every day, fresh oil. Every day, fresh oil. Every night, fresh oil. You are getting ready, ready. You're always ready. You're always ready. Every day. Nothing should make you bitter. Nothing gets you anxious. Nothing makes you throw in the towel. Nothing makes you abandon the plan of God for your life. Nothing puts you in unforgiveness. Nothing. You know what? One last thing I'll say about Joseph. He ensured that the family never broke up. You don't bring strife. You bring unity. He ensured the family played their roles. And God is so interesting. When God was going to choose, He chose Judah. Not Joseph. He didn't get bitter. The father said, it's from Judah. The scepter will not leave Judah. He said, what I faced. No. You played your own part. No matter what happens, all the relationships God has brought you into, even when they offend you, you stay faithful, full of love, full of compassion, full of the Holy Ghost. Because you know you are in their lives so that they can also fulfill God's plan. Guys, there's no room to allow the flesh. There's no room for it. There's no room. There's no room. There's no room for it. Under every circumstance, I just showed you, if otherwise had happened to Joseph, he won't have been able to play that role. It's happening because of who you are. You need to face the toughest tests. You need to face the toughest challenges. But you know what? You will win. I know this like the back of my hand. Storms don't last always. Someone said something blessed me. He said eventually, the storm will lose the rain. It will lose its drops of rain. It will be worn out after a while. The wind will lose its sail. And you will remain. Because you are built upon the rock of the Word of God. The rock that never fails. Never fails. There's one old song. You are the pillar that holds my life. Through every season. You are the pillar that holds my life. What I'm doing today, I'll do tomorrow. I'll do next year. How do in 20, 30 years time? Because you are the pillar that holds my life. That is why my fellowship with you is of utmost importance. I spend time to pray. I hear your word. I think upon it. I minister. I serve. I'm full of love. Because you are that pillar that holds my life. Lift your hands. Pray and minister to the Lord this evening.